or tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, September the 6th, 1987. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Gene and Earlene Moody of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, are the teachers of the afternoon. Gene's going to come and Earlene and teach us this afternoon, and then we're going to do whatever they teach us.
We're going to give you a triple blessing this afternoon. We're going to teach actually three lessons. Two of them are fairly short, and one is quite a bit longer, and Earlene is going to be the main speaker of the afternoon. The first lesson is sins of our ancestors, ourselves, and others. The second is how to be miserable. And the third is an attitude of gratitude, a cure for depression. That's one Earlene's going to teach. This morning, it was just, I repented this morning. See, what's going to happen? You're going to see the day that you're going to see preachers dropping dead in the pulpit. See, God is going to start with His leaders. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending upon how you look at it, I'm one of His leaders. If I get up here and I teach you, I really take a tremendous responsibility and a tremendous risk before God if I don't teach you properly. And I don't take this teaching you lightly. And I don't want to drop dead in the pulpit either when God starts cleansing His house. And He's going to start with the preachers. And then don't forget this, after the preachers comes you. But He starts with us first, and I want to be clean. So I repented this morning. Anything that I didn't know of anything I've done that's wrong, but I repented anyway.
Yes.
Just to make sure. Okay, the first one I'm going to teach you about is sins of our ancestors, ourselves, and others. And God deals with me a lot about sin, and we deal with people a lot about sin. And the most important thing that God has taught us about deliverance is forgiveness. The detriment of unforgiveness and the value of forgiveness. And we take people through more forgiveness prayers, and when we do, we get good results. Okay, so I was trying to do a study. I didn't have time to really do this justice, but I did as good as I could in the time I had. All right, what is sin and the standard against sin? Sin is the thought or deed we commit that is contrary to the teaching of the Bible. The standard that is used to judge sin is the holy, inspired Word of God, the Bible. Okay, that's this book right here. That's the standard that we judge sin by. Don't judge it by Gene and Earlene. Judge it by this book right here. Who do we commit sin against? We sin against God and others. Okay, that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin also against Christ. Now the results of our sins affect ourselves and others. We sin upward against God, outward against others, inward against ourselves, and downward against our descendants. All right, who are your descendants? That's your children, your children's children, your children's children's children. To however many generations, at least 10. How do we sin against God? We sin against God by disobedience to the commandments and precepts of the whole Bible. Okay, the whole Bible, cover to cover, Old Testament and New Testament, the whole book. How do we sin against others? We sin against others by doing something to them that is contrary to the Bible. For example, the spreading of lies about another person is sin. We are telling lies, which is a sin against God, and it is hurting another person. Okay, so how do I define that? Well, first, is lying a sin in the Bible? Right. Okay, so if lying is a sin against the Bible and against God, and we lie against others, we're sinning against others. How do we sin against ourselves? He that commits fornication sins against his own body. Now let's look at that in 1 Corinthians 6:18. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So when you commit these sex sins, you're sinning against your own body. Every other sin that man does is outside of the body except for fornication. Now, if you ask me to explain that, I can't tell you why. That's just what God said. I don't understand it. But I take His word, and I just accept it. I can't explain everything. You know, I don't ever expect to be able to explain everything until I walk in the presence of God, and He spends about 10,000 years teaching me. How do we sin against our descendants? We sin against our descendants either directly or indirectly. We can directly sin against our children or indirectly against our children's children to the 10th generation. That's the curse of the bastard, the curse of incest, which goes for 10 generations. For example, we can conceive a bastard. Or who do you sin first against when you conceive a bastard? You sin against that person who was conceived as a bastard. And not only do you sin against that person, but you sin against all your other children in the same family, and you sin against your wife or your husband. You know, it's a family affair. All right, then our children and their children to the 10th generation are cursed. So the curse or the sin, the effect of the sins, goes down to 10 generations. The curse will bring problems and grief, alienation from the church, and conceiving bastards generation after generation. That's the two main things early and I've noticed. If you are a bastard, or if you have the curse of the bastard on you, then you're a church hopper. You can't stay in one church. You go to church, you feel good for a while, and then things happen and you have to leave. If you're a church hopper, check yourself out to see if you have the curse of the bastard on you. Okay, then another thing the curse of the bastard brings is you tend to conceive bastards generation after generation. Now, who forgives sins? Only God can forgive sin by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We can remit, which means to send away sins, and retain, which means to hold fast sins. Now, this is John 20:23. Let's look at that scripture. This is a real interesting scripture, very powerful. John 20:23. Whosoever sins you remit, okay, remit means to send away, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, which means to hold fast or to lay hold fast, they are retained. So we can remit or send away sins, and we can retain and hold fast sins. Now, the next one is, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth is loose in heaven. All right, let's look at Matthew 16:19. Matthew 16:19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Okay, there's another verse. It's also 18:18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we can bind and loose. We can send away, or we can hold fast. Now, to me, I don't thoroughly understand that. And I don't, at the present moment, I don't really know anybody who does. Okay, but to me, what that means is, suppose you sin against me. Well, I can retain your sins, or I can remit your sins. I can hold fast of your sins, or I can remit them, I can send them away. I can bind your sins to me, or I can loose your sins. Okay, I think there's some real lessons in here if I fully understand the full meaning of that. Okay, but what you have to do when someone sins against you, you have to forgive that person and release their sins. See, when I forgive somebody, I think of releasing those sins. Those sins no longer have a hold on either one of us. So I release them. I send them away. Now, some other passages that are interesting in this study is judging others. 1 Corinthians 5:1-5. 1 Corinthians 5:1-5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he hath done this deed, he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and in my spirit, and with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, and that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's talking about judging others and praying accordingly. We have done this occasionally when people would ask us to do this. Turn a person over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now, you don't do that to destroy the person. You do that so that Satan can whittle away from them and God can get their attention and they can come back to God and get right with God and get back in the church or get right with their family. All right, another interesting verse is 2 Corinthians 2:10, talking about forgiven in the sight of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:10. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgave it I in the person of Christ. So we forgive in the person. See, really, how can you forgive anybody? It's just through the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that helps us to forgive others. Okay, then one other verse, 2 Corinthians 13:3, talks about Christ speaking in me. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. Okay, so I visualize Christ helping me to forgive the unforgivable. Now, who confesses sins? We confess our sins and the sins of our ancestors and humble ourselves before God. Let's look at Leviticus 26:40-42. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. Will I remember, and I will remember the land. All right, the idea we have found in our ministry is to have our descendants forgive their ancestors, especially their parents. An example would be our daughter. Earlene and I have done things that were wrong against our daughter, and we've repented and asked her to forgive us. And so when she would forgive us, that would be the strongest form of forgiveness. The most sure method is for the person to forgive those who have hurt them or committed acts which affect their lives. Okay, so when we work with people, we take them through a personal prayer that is personalized for their personal sins. They're just a personal prayer. It applies to their specific sins that they have committed before God. And we take them through that. Now, when I go through in mass deliverance, if the Holy Spirit quickens a sin unto you, I don't have to call that sin out or lead you through a form prayer or something like that. Then you just immediately, as the Holy Spirit quickens that sin to you, you ask God for forgiveness. What do we do after our sins are forgiven? Once our sins are forgiven and we have forgiven others for sinning against us, we then have the right to break curses, soul ties, and to cast out demons. Okay, before your sins are forgiven, you have no right. The demons have the right. We then break the curses on ourselves, our mate, if he or she is affected, and our descendants. We can break curses placed on us by others, curses placed on us by ourselves, and curses placed on our descendants by ourselves. We break soul ties brought about by sexual sin and witchcraft. Okay, I think you know if you commit a wrong act of sex, you get a soul tie. You get a soul tie through men and through women, and there's some type of demonic tie that comes through beasts. I don't really understand that. If someone practices witchcraft upon you, then they place a tie. Or if you submit yourself to witchcraft like Madame Eve or Madame March or somebody like that, then you have a soul tie with that witch or warlock or whoever. Now, so what I'm trying to do is trying to get across to you what God has shown us about the sins of our ancestors, that's anyone that precedes us, especially your parents. Your parents really sin against you. You know, it's the way it is. Okay, ourselves, we commit our share of sins, and then others who sin against us. And it's just like you can accumulate demons at the point of conception. You can be conceived and get a demon instantaneously. You got 9 months in the womb that you can collect demons. Then you got the period, and when you're before God considers you accountable, you collect demons. Then that's because that your parents do not protect you. They don't have enough knowledge to protect you. And then after you reach the age of accountability, you collect demons through your own personal sins. So if you're 30 years old and we're ministering to you, we tell you, well, you spent 30 years and 9 months collecting demons. Okay, so I hope you better understand about sin through that lesson. That's the whole purpose of it, to help you better understand about sin, who commits it, and how to take it, how to handle it, and so forth. Now, I've got a nice little lesson that's going to set up Earlene's lesson. You want to know how to be miserable? Okay, this is talking about me, I, and mine, and you, yours, and yourself. There's 20 little things here, actually 19, that I want you to think about as I read this. So this is the way to be miserable. And I'm sure a number of you have been practicing these good practices, and I'm sure you're miserable. Number one, think only about yourself. Number two, talk only about yourself. Number three, use I as often as possible. Number four, mirror yourself continually in the opinion of others. Number five, listen greedily to what others say about you. Number six, you be suspicious of others. Number seven, you expect to always be appreciated by others. Number eight, you be jealous and sensitive of others. Number nine, you never forgive others. Number 10, trust nobody but yourself. Number 11, you insist on consideration and respect by others. Number 12, you demand agreement with your own views. Number 13, sulk if people are not grateful to you. Number 14, never forget a service you have rendered. Number 15, be on the lookout always for a good time for yourself. Number 16, shirk your duties when you can. Number 17, you do as little for others as possible. Number 18, love yourself supremely. Number 19, you always be selfish towards others. Okay, then I got a list of demons that I call the self demons. I got a bunch of those that I'm going to call out in deliverance. And we'll see what we stir up with us. Now, I'm finished with my two little lessons. I'm asking Earlene to come and teach.
Okay, but before I... All right, there was something that kept coming to me while I was sitting out here. And, of course, you know, you can't help but observe one another. And it was something that was common to Jean and me. We had lived together for 20-something years, and we had a son that died. And during this 20-something years, we had offended each other, and we had resentment against each other, and various and sundry other things, and we had built up a wall. And when I was talking with the Lord about, him getting Jean straightened out, I saw this little vision-like. And it was a wall, but it was one wall. But this wall was built in such a way that all three of us were separated, Jean, myself, and Marie. And there was no way that we could see each other, really see each other, with this wall here. So I began to pray one of my righteous prayers, I call them. I said, Lord, Lord, move the wall, Lord. Move it so we can talk to one another. And so he told me to observe the wall closer. And I looked at this wall, and it was made of big blocks. And on these blocks were names of my offenses toward my other family members. And I said, Lord, what can I do? I have repented of all that. And he said, you need to remove the things that you have done that have offended other people. And one of the things he showed me, first of all, was that I had always taken offense when Jean would correct me in any way. If he said, Earlene, you know you need to wash the dishes once a week, then I might jump back and say, well, what do you think you are, you know? Well, the Lord showed me that kind of resentment against my husband and offense at what he said was the kind of thing that builds walls. And all of you have built walls, probably, between you, your mate, and your children. And you can pray until you turn purple. But God is not going to move that wall. You put it there, and with his help and his enlightenment and the wisdom he'll give you if you ask, you start to move the wall. So the next time Gene came to me and he said, I think you need to improve in this particular area, I said, let's talk about it. Tell me all about it. Help me see it from your point of view. And we began to take the blocks out. You know, and I would tell him, when you say such and such a thing, it hurts me. And this is what I think when you say that to me. And he would tell me, well, this is what I mean. Or I didn't mean that at all. I meant this. And I find that Satan runs between, or his demons run between family members. and Gene might say something very casually to me, not meant to be offensive at all. But the demons will run up to me and say, "See there? You see, he don't like nothing you do. There's no way you're ever going to please that old man. Or he doesn't like you. You're getting old and wrinkled. Your teeth are not pearly and your hair ain't curly, and he don't like you no more." And you know what you usually do? You draw back then from that person. Well, we have found that there are some ways to counteract that. Number one is you ask the other person about what they mean. And you listen carefully and you consider it. And then you say what you think. And you talk back. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that almost everybody I know doesn't keep. It says, "Forget not to communicate." That means talk it over, folks. Y'all talk with each other. Keep communicating. You can usually understand each other if you'll talk enough to talk it out. So that's one of the ways to get the barriers down from between people. Okay. Get rid of these glasses so I can see. Also, I want to talk to you about how to fight demons. When I first got delivered, every time my demons that I had would come back to talk to me, I would say, "Oh, I rebuke you. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get away from me. I rebuke you." And then one day the Lord told me, he said, "I thought I was bigger than him." And I said, "Yeah, you are bigger." He said, "Well, you're not acting like it." He said, "The next time they come to see you, take a different approach." And I said, "Well, Lord, I don't know what to do." So I was reading about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. And somehow, for the first time in my whole life, somewhere around in my early 40s, it dawned on me that all this was done for me. I mean, you guys don't count. It was done for me. See, I never could accept that the Lord did it for me. Just as much as you, he did it for me. And that finally dawned on me. And while I was reading that, would you believe that I looked up on the wall and there are pictures of a beautiful son up there. Just like that, I hit the very pits of depression. Now I said, "Lord, what am I going to do? Here it is. I wouldn't mind going insane. What am I going to do?" He said, "Why don't you just read him the story you just read?" I said, "Huh?" He said, "Why don't you just read him this story you just read? Read it to him." And I said, "Well, I don't know how to do that." He said, "Well, just open the Bible and start reading." So I did. And they left me. And later on, I thought about that. And I said, "Lord, you mean that when they come to me, I don't have to cringe?" And he said, "No, you just go after them." So after that, when they came toward me, I said, "Hey, since you guys are here, something I want to talk to you about." And I would start, and I would read them every section in the Bible that talked about the death, burial, and resurrection. But before I got very far into that, the demon's oppression was gone. If he was trying to get me to do something or be depressed over Byron, he would leave. And I would enjoy what I was doing so much that I continued it. And so one of the ways to get rid of the demons is not to just cringe and say, "I rebuke you, oh, I rebuke you." But you say, "Hey, now that you're here, I have something to say to you." And you use the Bible back on him. Now, I want to give you an example of a cringing friend of mine. And she was very afraid of demons. Even after she got delivered, she was scared of demons. And her pancreas went crazy on her, and she had an infection or something in there, and they thought she was on the verge of dying. And while she was laying there being treated with some sort of a animals came to visit her, and they came up onto her wall, and she could see them like smoke but with colors, and they were very terrifying to her, and her usual reaction was to just become absolutely paranoid. And so as these demons would come down, they came right to her face and went off. Well, then she said, "I remembered that Jean had told me don't fear them." So she said they went over and they stood beside her bed. And she said, "All of a sudden something rose up in me, and I said, you get down to the foot of my bed where I can see you better in the name of Jesus Christ." So it moved over there. And she said, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm death, and I'm going to kill you." And she said, it just, you know, smiled and carried on to her. And so she told it. She said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I break every curse that I ever said on myself about wishing I was dead. and you have to leave me. And she called each of them over there. One was the name of what she had. The other one was fear. And from that day to this, she has never feared them, but she will go after them. The Bible says this, and she makes them listen. And so we found that's one good way to fight the demons. They don't like to hear what the Lord did for you, and they don't like to hear about your inheritance. Now I'm going to get down to the lesson, an attitude of gratitude. I'm going to give you a list of scripture, and if you have a pencil, you can put it down. And what I'm going to do is just tell you briefly what it says. This is Ezra, 3rd chapter, Ezra 3:10-13. This is an account of triumph and joy at the destruction of idol worship and the renewed worship of the true God. All right, it's Ezra 6:16-22. Both of those sections are about that same thing. 6:16 and 22. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart, life flows from it. Matthew 12:35-36, you actually speak out what's in your heart, it flows out from you. Proverbs 8:21, death and life are in the power of your tongue. You need to watch that thing. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety and a heavy heart draw you down. Joshua 1:8. This is the formula for good success. You know, you need to keep your mind and your heart on the precepts that are in the Bible, and you'll be successful. Philippians 4:8. This is a list of things to think on. And when I was trying to stay delivered, when I first got delivered, I put this up in my kitchen cupboard, and I went there and looked frequently to see if what I was thinking was there. You know, God was so careful, He even told us what to think about. All right, Philippians 4:8, think on these things. Colossians 3:16, let Christ's words live in you. Colossians 3:16. Mark 11:23. You have what you believe and what you say. Mark 11:23. Psalm 50:23. Order your conversation rightly. If you say with your lips yes, but in your heart you say no, you've equaled zero. You've just canceled everything out. 2 Timothy 3:2. This is a list of the things that are going to be common in the end times. And one of the things on there is not grateful, ungrateful. And I'm going to talk about gratitude. The Lord told me that one of my problems about maintaining an even emotional life was that I was not grateful to God. And I'd always say, thank you, Lord. You know, just flippantly, thank you, Lord, I appreciate that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But deep in my heart, it wasn't weighed down there deep. And in Webster's dictionary, he says that gratitude is thanks, thankfulness, appreciation, indebtedness, to be beholding, indebted, and in one's debt. And you know, I am in debt to the Lord. All right, in the Bible, there are over 137 times that thanks, thanksgiving, and thankful are mentioned just in those forms. But there are many other things where it's mentioned, like gratitude, praise, joy, and rejoicing. If all these were counted, the number of times gratitude appears in its many forms is staggering. My first encounter with God's attitude of gratitude came one day when I was just sort of casually reading the Bible. If you want to turn to that section, Deuteronomy 28:47-48, and we'll read that together. And I'll be reading out of the Amplified. Deuteronomy 28:47-48. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness of heart and mind in gratitude for the abundance of all with which He has blessed you, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord shall send against you, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in the want of all things. And He will put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he hath destroyed you. And the thing that got me was serving the Lord with joyfulness in gratitude. I look back over my life and I knew I hadn't done that, and I knew I wasn't doing it right then. You know, I appeared to be, but it was not deep down in there. My gratitude did not motivate me to obey the Lord. The more that you really see what the Lord has done for you, the more gratitude you have, the more you will obey. As I read this over and over and over, it's like, you know, the Lord just really showed me how pitifully weak my thanks had been to him. And I had a lot of problems at this time. You know, Gene, after Byron died, it was like Gene went off into the world to himself. Marie, our little daughter, who'd always been so timid and shy and so feminine and petite, beat up all the boys in the neighborhood. I mean, it was nothing unusual for her to come home with a bloody nose. And you ask her what happened, and she beat up a boy 2 years older than her. And then, of course, you know, Gene had moved us into this little bitty house, and I was embarrassed above my, you know, for my other neighbors, my older neighbors. I had all these emotions, you know, in the Amplified Bible calls it agitating passions. That's your demons. Well, I had a lot of agitating passions going on in there, you know, and I was trying to be grateful to the Lord at the same time. And the Lord showed me that everything that I had, my husband, my daughter, my, you know, the supplies for the week and all that came from him. And he even told me, he said, you know, that table over there, I gave that to you to use while you're here. You don't appreciate it, and you aren't grateful for it. And I said, Lord, you know, that's really true. And he said, I gave you this house to protect you from the rain and from the wind, and it's bigger than you really need, but you don't appreciate that either. And he said, you know, your son died in an instant. And he said, everything else can leave you too, just like that. And he said, you know, I would have you to be grateful, because out of a grateful heart stems a lot of good things. But the one you have now does not very well line up with a spirit-filled life. Well, the Lord began to work on me, and I didn't feel quite so holy, you know. I quit praying for God to fix Gene and started praying for God to work on me. And here's some things he showed me during this time. One of the things is he showed me I needed to have true repentance and true thankfulness, or I might as well not worship. I don't know if that lines up with what you would say over here, Brother Glenn, but it's like the Lord told me, if my heart is not repentant and my heart is not thankful, then my worship is somewhat empty and void. And it's simply something I do, like marching with the band, you know. It's not really real. I needed to be thankful to God even for the problems I had. You know that I've learned a lot by watching God work with me and work with Gene in our problems. God has grown a lot. You know, as God has grown in my life, the demons have gotten less. You see, when we look at the demons, we think they're so big and so powerful, and they are. But we have one who is many times more bigger. But as long as he remains, the big one remains little in our life, then the little ones remain big. And as God has grown in my life, and I've begun to see what he has really done, then the demons and their threat on me doesn't seem so powerful. And when I find one really coming after me, when I'm aware that it's really there, I'd rather turn than fight, than run. All right, in 1 Chronicles 16:4, 7 through 11, this is the first account that I found in the Bible about people really giving praise and thanks to God. And this is where the Levites were doing it. They were appointed to give praise and thanks continually to God. And in 2 Chronicles, this is where the 20th chapter, 21st verse, it praises go before the people to victory. Sometimes you have overwhelming odds against you. And if you can look at the Lord and say, Lord, I know that you have solutions that I can't think of, and I'm going to do everything that I see that you want me to do, and then I'm going to watch and see what you do. And these people were praising God before they ever saw the victory. And it won victories. In Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas were delivered out of prison after they continually sang praises to God. And I'm sure that their thanks to God was not like, well, you know, thanks God. You know, it was that deep, deep, deep heartfelt gratitude to God. And it really moved God. All right, look at James 4:7-8. I have a note on here to myself that we should read these, so let's go read these. James 4. James is one of my favorite books. After I got delivered, the first part of my deliverance, this was the book that helped me more than anything to live in the nasty now and now. That's the title I put on the book. All right, James 4:7-8. Be subject to God. Stand firm against the devil, resist him, and he will flee from you. And the Lord showed me that I was expecting the devil to flee from me in areas I hadn't submitted to him. You say, we always say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But there's a step one. And step one is, wherever you're having the problem, submit to God. You know, after I got delivered there, I had a problem with, you know, like my daughter, I was overprotective. Any of you mothers like that? I was overprotective. I didn't want her out of my sight, ever. And so I had to begin to learn to trust that God would go with her and that he would protect her. And it wasn't easy to do that. But I had to submit my daughter and the care of him to the Lord. So I said, Lord, I read in the Old Testament where you said that if I follow you and I want to live for you, that you will protect my daughter and my children. So, Lord, I'm going to give her over to you, and I'm going to draw back this nervousness that I have when she's not with me. And when I submitted this to the Lord, then I was able to relax about it. And when the devil came to me, I said, God is with her. He is with her. All right, Habakkuk 3:17-18. Now you think about this as you go along. If all this were happening to you, would you be grateful or rejoice? Though the fig tree does not blossom, though there's no food in the refrigerator, and there's no product of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stall, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength and my personal bravery and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk, not stand still in terror, but walk and make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble, suffering, and responsibility. And I would read that and I would think, I don't think it's possible to do that. But as I began to trust the Lord and rejoice in the little things I saw him do, I've gotten to where I can trust him with a lot of things now. He's getting bigger all the time. So I learned that as I began to trust the Lord, even in the midst of my troubles, and I would stand firm about the promises God had made to me and my commitment to him, the devil would flee. But unless I submitted to God, then he didn't flee. It is very important to serve the Lord with joy. Joy is one of the large ingredients of gratitude. In Ephesians 5:20, the Amplified Bible says, at all times. I used to say, well, Lord, you know, I can rejoice over everything but Byron's death, and I cannot rejoice over that. And then he began to show me that I would not be spirit-filled, I would not be healed in my back, and I would not be able to function as a human being except that Byron died. You see, I was going on the self trail, successful self trail, and you know, you can just go so far on that. So when Byron died, it abruptly made me stop and start taking account of things. And you can see real clearly sometimes at a point like that. And I began to see the good things that had come out of Byron's death, not only for me, but for a lot of other people. And so I began to say, Lord, I can't really say I thank you that he died. But I thank you for what you've done with that. I thank you for all that has come out of that, for everyone who's been helped, for me being helped. So you, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I used to think that God wouldn't give me any hard times. But, you know, I've learned more through the hard times I've gone through than through the easy times. In this verse, thankfulness is emphasized by the fact that it's used more than once. Many times demons enter because we are not grateful and we are not thankful. All right, in the lesson, there are several sections of scriptures to study, and I'll call those out. And then you can study those at your leisure. You know, after you leave here, you need to take everything you've learned and study it again in private. It's like you learn a lot more when you get it in private. But Deuteronomy 1:26-28, all right, in verse 26, they started rebelling against God. And in verse 27, they were discontent with God and began to lie to themselves. In verse 28, they got cringing fear, ineptness, fear of failure. So those were the demon spirits that entered in due to their actions of rebellion. In Romans 1:19-32, it talks about people who know God and recognize Him as God, but who would not honor Him or glorify Him or give Him thanks, and they become futile, godless, vain, foolish, stupid, and descend to the place where God gives them up. In this account in Romans, we're treated to an example of how the devil gradually draws us away from God. You know, you have to be real careful about these little things that just sort of begin to take your time. The devil is an expert in gradualism. He will gradually draw husbands and wives apart. He doesn't do it all of a sudden. He gradually talks to the children and the parents and puts a big wedge in there. But at first, it's only tiny. So you have to watch for the points that are small where he begins to work. Like when I get irritated with Gene now, sometimes I know I'm not irritated, but I know what's happening. The demon is coming at me of that old irritation. He's coming back to see if he can entice me to get irritated at Gene again. And you know what I do when he comes to me like that? I say, I'm the best gift that Gene has. The Bible says that the wife is the best gift that God gives the husband. And then I start thinking, well, you know, a good gift is not irritable and ugly and nasty. And so I change right there, and I say, you're not going to come in here. No, you're not. All right, I have witnessed that many Christians, spirit-filled as well as non-spirit-filled, have begun to let little things eat into their life. You know, like a little bit too much of the wrong kind of TV, a little bit too much of the wrong kind of attitude, and the next thing you know, it's become bigger than you. In this country, through gradualism, we've lost political, financial, and family freedom. We've lost much of our personal freedom and our purchasing power because we have just gradually let someone take it away. Or this is a spiritual trick. And even though it works out and it can be both political and in the family, it's a spiritual problem. Joy, peace, gladness, thankfulness, and reverence for God are all a part of gratitude. As soon as I begin to be grateful in my heart to God for all of His goodness to me, I begin to feel stronger. Have you ever noticed that when you recognize what God has done for you and you are truly grateful, you begin to feel stronger, more peaceful, more joyfulness, you're glad and you're reverent, and you will honor God by your actions. I began to look at each problem I faced with excitement. About this time, Gene got laid off. Have any of you ever gotten laid off? You know, they don't warn you, they just do it. And so the first time that anything like this happened to us, it terrified me so bad that all day long while I walked through the house, I could feel myself shaking. Well, by the time I had come through the first part of my deliverance, this was going on, and Gene got laid off. And I was trying to think, now, I really should be getting upset, you know. We might not have anything to eat in a month or so. But I couldn't get upset because I kept thinking, you know, God is liable to do something we haven't thought of yet. And sure enough, he did. He did. He has solutions. I mean, you can look at a problem and there's no way out. That's because we have such pitiful little minds. But he has got 1,000 or more solutions to that one little problem, and he'll bring it about. So I got excited waiting to see what he was going to do. And I have found that instead of being terrified, I can just be excited about what God is going to do. And I began immediately to ask him, Lord, is there anything in my life that needs correcting at this point? And if he doesn't convict me of anything, then I get more excited. We're going to see what happens. Now, you are in charge of your mind, and you can't put it off on anybody. The demons, your husband, your wife, your mother, your daddy. You know, because God gave us the ability to grow and to change, to reason. And so the Lord told me, he said, Erlene, you're in charge of this attitude you've had, and you are going to have to change it. Attitudes reside in your mind. Have you ever noticed that I used to have a spirit of gloom? Have any of you had that over you? If nothing bad is happening, you know it soon will. I had this spirit of gloom that went with me, and I could feel it when it was far away from me, but I could feel it as it got closer. And I did not realize for a long time that what I was thinking in my head and the way I was acting to those around me was drawing that thing to me. It was looking at me and saying, there, I can get a foothold. And it would come upon me. And so I asked the Lord one time, I said, would you show me how to change my mind? And I remembered it just like he flashed my mind back to when I was standing in the hospital and they told me that Byron was dead. And I had asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you have to do something for me because the kind of person I was before is that when they told me he was dead, I knew if they did that I could be very violent. And I thought, if they do, there's no telling what I'll do. And I said, Lord, please help me. Please do something for me. And see, I was your little Baptist who didn't think God listened to your prayers or answered. But he had begun talking to me during this time. And when the doctor came in and I knew that Byron was dead because of the doctor was crying, something real warm, and I told Jenny, it just felt like honey, started coming down over my head, and peace came to me. And the Lord told me, he said, Ernie, you can turn your mind to that peace when you want to. It will be hard, but you can do it. And so the Lord told me, you retrain your mind. You retrain it. You trained it to be ungrateful. Now you retrain it to be grateful, and I'll help you. But he did not say, I will zap your head and you'll be grateful tomorrow. And I said, Lord, teach me how to do this. He said, all right, Erlene, when you go through the house to clean the bathroom, especially the bathtub, I hated to clean bathtubs. You know, you got to get on your knees. It's not comfortable. And I said, Lord, I need some help in this gratitude thing. He said, all right, when you go to clean the bathtub, you say, Lord, I thank you for this bathtub. Taking a bath in this thing is nice. The hot water is very comforting. And when you dust the table, you say, thank you, Lord, for this table to use while I'm here. And when you mop the floor, you say, Lord, I'm so glad this is a floor and not dirt or mud or something. And you start just being thankful. Well, I got to where that I was so thankful for everything and still am. You see, it's this gratitude that motivates me to want to do what God says. I get excited when God says, you're doing something wrong, Erlene. You know why I get excited? Because I know he is great and powerful and mighty. And by his spirit, I can receive the power from him to change this thing. So So you set out to make a change, and you'll fall back. I remember one time after I had gotten myself sort of straight on this being thankful and everything, one of my old friends from where I used to live in the big house wanted to come visit me in the little house, and I had this little twinge of, I don't really want her to come over here. And the Lord says, now you shouldn't feel that way. And he pointed out to me that there was pride and vanity and ego and things like that in there, and shame and embarrassment, which were not even needed. And so what I usually do when I get in a place like that, I say, hey, Jean, we need to do a little deliverance on me. You see, husbands and wives can work together. Instead of thinking you have to take your wife to somebody else or that she can't help you, the two of you get together. The reason I know that husbands are the best deliverers is because that's what happened to me. They know you better than anybody else, and when they really seek the Lord to help you, they can help you best.
Okay, why don't everybody stand up while I get plugged back in here?
Can you hear me? Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That feels good, doesn't it? Gets the kinks out of your muscle, and I want to get the demons out of your body. Just keep standing up, and with the Lord's help, I'm going to take you through a prayer. Okay, I want you to pray out loud and pray sincerely. Lord Jesus Christ,
I
repent for these different things that I'm guilty of. In gratitude to God, thanklessness, anger towards God, dishonor of God, hatred towards God, rejection of God, and dealings with me. I repent of anything else that would show that I do not have an attitude of gratitude, that I'm ungrateful to my husband, I'm ungrateful to my wife. I'm ungrateful for my children. Or I'm ungrateful for my parents. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. With your help, I will have an attitude of gratitude for what you have done for me and for my family. Lord Jesus, I forgive my ancestors and my descendants and anyone else who has sinned against me or hurt me. I ask you to forgive them and bless them with all spiritual blessings. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, for my many sins. I forgive myself for sins against my body. Now I break every curse, every hex, every vex, every demonic tie that binds. I break every soul tie brought about by witchcraft or sexual impurity. Lord Jesus, restore my fragmented soul. Send your angels out to recover anything that Satan has stolen from me. Lord Jesus, stir up the demons within my subconscious mind. Command them to manifest, identify and reveal themselves as unto Jesus, so that they can be cast down. And all these things I ask in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Master, and my Savior. Amen. Okay, just keep on standing up, and I'm going to pray. Satan, we come against you. We come against all powers, principalities, evil forces in this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We come against all demons, inside or outside of anyone present, over this city, state, nation, world, in hell and out of hell. The Bible says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We intend to exercise that power now to set ourselves free. Satan, we come against you by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, by the word of God and the name of Jesus, by the authority of the believers and the unity of our spirits. We command that you line up in rank and file in order and come out quickly. We bind every power that you have. We loose ourselves from you in the name of Jesus Christ. We remind you that we sit in heavenly places with our Christ Jesus. They were over you and all the fallen angels and all the demons. Now, Lord Jesus, we just ask you to loose legions of angels, warring angels, ministering angels, the Holy Spirit, the sevenfold Spirit of God to come down and minister unto us. Lord, just ask you to completely surround this place and cut off all communication from the demons outside to the demons inside. I ask that you remove every loose demon from the air around us. And I bind up any evil spirit within anyone who would try to disturb this service. I bind them up in the name of Jesus Christ. I paralyze those demons who would try to disrupt this service. I paralyze them in Jesus' name. Now, Lord Jesus, we just ask that you have your way here today. We're careful to give you all the glory, honor, praise, and credit for everything that's said and done. And all these things we ask in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Master, and our Savior. We take total authority over Satan according to the Holy Word of God. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Okay, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against those spirits of rejection. I come out right now, spirits of rejection, fear of rejection, self-rejection, inability to give and receive love, prenatal rejection, conception and lust, rejection by the mother, rejection by the father. Okay, now don't pray in tongues and don't pray. Just let the demons come out. Rejection by the mother, rejection by the father, rejection by the husband or the wife, rejection by Christian brothers and sisters, rejection by the pastor. Now come out right now. Rejection by anyone. I loose the spirits of love upon these people in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray that you'd show them how much you love them. Now come out. Rejection of all types. Okay, the workers just circulate around with your towels. But come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Now loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. I bind your power and I drive you out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. I want all that rejection, deep-seated rejection, hurts and deep hurts, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come on, up and out of them in Jesus' name. We are not rejected, we're loved. We love each other. We love our husbands, we love our wives, we love our children, we love our parents. Now come out in Jesus' name. I stir you up and I drive you out. All rejection, all deep-seated rejection, all hurts and deep hurts. That's right. Come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every evil spirit that would keep us from having an attitude of gratitude. I stir you up and I drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no choice. I break your power and I drive you out completely in Jesus' name. Now come on up and out of them. I remind you, demons, that you're going to be cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm shall never die and the fire shall never be quenched. You're going to be cast in there with your master Satan. You're going to be in total loneliness and total despair. You're going to have worms on your head and maggots on your feet. You're going to be tormented for eternity. You're going to be in there with your master Satan. And he's bound in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out. Come on, I stir you up, demons. I use the whole word of God against you. We believe the whole word of God. We take it literally in childlike faith. We stir you up and drive you out in Jesus' name. Now come out of them. Now loose them and set them free in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind every demon power that you have. I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Go right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every evil spirit of rejection. Now come out, spirits of bitterness. Bitterness, roots of bitterness, ruler of bitterness. I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. The bitterness that keeps us from appreciating the things that we have. The bitterness that keeps us from being thankful. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, bitterness of all types. I command you to go. Bitterness, resentment, hatred, unforgiveness. Come out. Hatred and self-hatred, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now go. Go right now. Hatred and self-hatred, I command you to go in Jesus' name. I break your power. I drive you out in Jesus' name. That's right. We've forgiven everyone that's hurt us. Now come out in Jesus' name. We have no unforgiveness. We have no ungratefulness. Now come out in Jesus' name. Go right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I stir you up and I drive you. I want all the bitterness, that whole family of bitterness, to go in Jesus' name. Come out every spirit of violence, temper, anger, and retaliation. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now go. Violence, temper, anger, and retaliation. I command you to go right now. Loose us and set us free in Jesus' name. Your power is broken. We drive you out. Violence, temper, anger, retaliation. Come out in Jesus' name. Go by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, by the word of God in the name of Jesus, by the authority of the believer and unity of our spirit. We command you to go. Go and loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. Come out every spirit of murder, suicide, death, abortion. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Death and fear of death. Go right now in the name of Jesus Christ. All death, all fear of death, death wishes, I command all death wishes to go. I wish I were dead. I wish I were, would die. Come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I break all the curses and the soul ties on these people. I break all death wishes. I drive out the spirit of death in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out. I bind your power and I drive you out in Jesus' name. Now loose them and set them free. Come out. The whole family of bitterness, you will go. You have no choice. You'll come out right now in Jesus' name. That's right. I break every power of bitterness. I drive you out in Jesus' name. Now go. All bitterness will go in the name of Jesus Christ. Your power is broken. We drive you out in Jesus' name. Now come out, every spirit of rebellion. Rebellion, roots of rebellion, ruler of rebellion, witchcraft. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out. All rebellion, go. Loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. That's right. Come out. All rebellion, I break your power and I drive you out in Jesus' name. You will go, all spirits of rebellion. Come out, spirits of self-will, selfishness, self-idolatry. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go, all self-will. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of stubbornness. Stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Go, all stubbornness. I break your power and I drive you out in Jesus' name. I want all the stubbornness to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out, every spirit of disobedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Come out, disobedience to God. Come out right now, spirits of disobedience. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Go, every spirit of anti-submissiveness, unwillingness of the wife to submit to the husband. Unwillingness of the husband to submit to God. Now come out in Jesus' name. Come out. All anti-submissiveness, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, the whole family rebellion. Go, loose them and set them free right now. The whole family rebellion. I stir you up and drive you out in Jesus' name. Come out, the whole family rebellion. Come out, every spirit of rejection, root of bitterness and rebellion. Every root, memory, scarness, and habit, ruler, demon, and lesser demon, I command you to go. I demand a complete cleansing in the area of basic deliverance. I command you to go right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Now loose them and set them free. Come on, up and out of them in Jesus' name. I stir you up. I remind you of your torment. I remind you of your punishment. And you have very little time left to go, demon. Stick around. We'll tell you about what the Holy Word of God says. That's right. Now go. Loose them and set them free. Lord, send your angels in there with a sharp two-edged sword, capable of dividing spirit and soul asunder. Cut those demons out. Cut those roots out in Jesus' name. Lord, just ask you to light a fire under those demons, 10 times hotter than hell. Let them feel the fires of hell, the fires of the lake of fire and brimstone. Let them feel the heat of their punishment. Remind them of their punishment, Lord Jesus. And I separate every demon from every other demon. I break your ties between each other. I separate you in the name of Jesus Christ. You cannot communicate with each other. I bind up your minds, wills, and emotions. You cannot communicate. I bind up all the ruler demons, and I command the lesser demons to line up in rank and file in order and come out quickly. Now go, loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. You have no choice. You will go in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out, every spirit of ingratitude to God, thanklessness, anger towards God, dishonor of God, hatred towards God, rejection of God and dealings, and rejection of God's dealings with you. Come out. Come out, all fear of God or rejection of God or hatred of God or blaming God for our mistakes, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Go, come on, up and out of them right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Deathly fear for God, lack of respect for God, come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. That's right, wrong thinking towards God, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now go, loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. Out, up and out of them in Jesus' name. As I call you out, I command you to come out and bring your families and your works with you in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of punishment, cover-up lies, fear of failure, futility, stupid speculations, lack of knowledge, sexual impurity, incest, unrighteousness, covetousness, envy, strife, ill will, gossip, insolence, inventors of evil, without conscience, loneliness, poverty in soul, poverty in pocketbook, self-centeredness, murmuring and complaining, abusive, contemptuous, disobedient to parents, unholy, relentless, troublemakers, loose morals, treacherous, self-conceited, ungrateful to husband, ungrateful to wife, ungrateful for a husband or wife, ungrateful for children, ungrateful for parents. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of discontent, cringing fear, dishonor of self, foolish reasonings, senseless minds, lack of wisdom, homosexuality, lesbianism. Come out in Jesus' name. Every spirit of iniquity, go, grasping greed, jealousy, deceit, cruel ways, slandering, arrogance, undutiful to parents, faithlessness, mercilessness, poverty of spirit, want, insufficiency, proud, blasphemous scoffers, ungrateful, profane, unforgiving, false accusers, fierce, betrayers, hypocrites. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. As your name is called, I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of lying to self, ineptness, dishonor of others, vain, godless imaginings, foolishness, idolatry, indecency, loathsomeness, guilt, malice, murder, treachery, secret backbitings, hateful to God, boasting, having no understanding, heartlessness, fantasy, poverty in body, lack, rationalization, proud, arrogant and contemptuous boasters, callous and inhuman, lacking natural affection, intemperate, haters of good, rash, lovers of sexual pleasure and vain amusements. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Bring all your works with you in the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. Now loose us and set us free in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of self-abhorring, self-absorbed, self-accusation, self-admiring, self-affrighted, self-aggrandizement, self-applause, self-approbation, self-awareness, self-banished, self-baptizer, self-beguiled, self-betrayal, self-blinded, self-concern, self-condemnation, self-condemning, self-conflict, self-consuming, self-content, self-depraise, self-deserving, self-ease, self-evolution, self-exaggeration, self-exalting, self-exposure, self-exalting, self-flattering, self-forgetfulness, self-harming, self-idolized, self-ignorance, self-immolating, self-indignation, self-indulging, self-infliction, self-killed, self-lauding, self-loathing, self-seduction, self-starve, self-subjugation, self-subversive, self-suppression, self-suspended, self-suspicious, self-tormenting, self-torturing, self-unforgiveness, self-worshipper, self-abasing, self-abnegation, self-absorption, self-abuse, self-annihilation, self-appointed, self-assumed, self-begotten, self-centered, self-criticism, self-crucifixion, self-deceiving, self-degradation, self-deluded, self-depraved, self-depreciation, self-despair, self-destroying, self-devouring, self-diffidence, self-diffusing, self-disparagement, self-display, self-loving, self-made, self-opinionated, self-pollution, self-neglecting, self-oblivion, self-partiality, self-pity, self-pleasing, self-preference, self-pride, self-repression, self-reproving, self-repulsive, self-restriction, self-reverence, self-ruin, self-scorn, self-interest, self-righteous, self-seeking, self-collected, self-conceited, self-conscious, self-contained, self-contradiction, self-deception, self-delusion, self-destruction, self-distrust, self-esteem, selfhood, self-hatred, self-importance, selfishness, self-torture, self-will, and self-wrong. And all the self-demons, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out, all the self-demons. Come out, spirits of bad habits, of thinking and reacting. Come out. Come out, fear of rejection, fear of men's opinions, fear of disapproval, bitterness, rebellion, stubbornness, anti-submissiveness, disobedience, fear of criticism, insecurity, timidity, inadequacy, ineptness, distrust, fantasy, compromise, fear of failure, ego, pretense, argument, mockery, cynicism, dread, apprehension, roving, restlessness, unreality, indifference, passivity of mind, lethargy, depression, discouragement, defeatism, hopelessness, heaviness, burden, forgetfulness, rationalization, deception, discontent, fatigue, selfishness, hypocrisy, smug complacency, shame, sexual impurity, cult involvement, embarrassment, self-will, disgust, worry, anxiety, fear of reproof, fear of confrontation, confusion, doubt, unbelief, indecision, procrastination, pride, play-acting, frustration, hyperactivity, carelessness, heedlessness. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind your power and I drive you out. Come out. All bad habits of thinking and reacting, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now loose us and set us free right now. You have no choice. You will go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Loose us in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All the passivity, the passive mind demons, I command you to go. All deceptions, errors, and order of invasions, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out. Passive will, passive mind, passive imagination, passive judgment, passive reason, passive conscience, passive spirit, passive body, passive whole man. Go right now in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of passivity. That's right. Come out, spirits of passivity. I call out the spirit of the Ahab men and the Jezebel women. Come out. Spirits of Ahab, spirits of Jezebel. Ahab, the weak-willed men, the destruction of the family priesthood. I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, Jezebelic women, domination, manipulation, control, witchcraft, practicing witchcraft on others. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. Come out. I want all the passivity spirits, the passive mind spirits to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go right now. Loose them and set them free. Come out. Every spirit of psychoneurosis, anxiety, compulsions, kleptomania and other manias, disassociated personalities, psychosomatic medicine, psychotherapy, repressed emotional excitement, obsessive, compulsive obsessive, hysteria, neurasthenia, phobias or fears of, traumatic neurosis. Come out, all psychoneurotic demons, psychopathic personality, materially successful, emotionally unstable personality, passive-aggressive type, compulsive personality, passive type, aggressive type. Go in Jesus' name. Go, every spirit of homosexuality, male, female, lesbians, general demons in the homosexuality category. Go in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of sexual deviation, pederasty, how do you pronounce that? Fetishism, flagellation, fellatio and cunnilingus, exposure. Come out, all sexual deviation demons. Come out, every spirit of antisocial reaction, sociopathic, dissocial reaction, sociopathy. Come out, spirits of psychosis, the organic psychosis, psychological discord. Come out, all organic psychosis, physical, psychotic depression, involutional melancholia, manic depressive, change of life stress in a male or female, psychotic mania, simple schizophrenia, acute schizophrenia, hebephrenic schizophrenia, tranquilizing drugs, catatonic schizophrenia, childish negativism, paranoid schizophrenia. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now loose us and set us free right now. You have no choice. You will come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind your power and drive you out in Jesus' name. That's right. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to go. Just keep on line up in rank and file and order and come out quickly. In the name of Jesus Christ, that name above all names. In the name of Jesus, every evil spirit will go in Jesus' name. That's right, in the name of Jesus Christ. We command you to go. We bind your power, and we drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Okay, I found what I'm looking for. Let's work on diseases, infirmities, and sicknesses again. Okay, come out. Every infirmity, weakness, sickness, and disease. All princes, kings, and world rulers, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Every spirit of paralysis. Every spirit of paralysis, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out of the people, spirits of paralysis. Come out, all roots of infirmity. Go right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, every spirit of accident, back breaker, accident prone, traumatic shock, bone breaker, all paralysis demons, crippling, depression, despair, affliction, deformity, discouragement, suicide, spinal cord, atrophy, hopelessness, death, scar tissue, come out in Jesus' name. Come out all roots of infirmity, shame and embarrassment, troubled will and conflict, curse of Jezebel, acupuncture and acupressure, hypnotism and demonism, astrology, rebellion and idolatry, resentment and envy, vanity and pride, witchcraft and occult, Taoism and pantheism, psychic metaphysical healing, grief, disobedience, curse of the law, envy and jealousy, reincarnation, spiritual or Christian science, spiritual healing. Come out all ailments, tooth decay, tuberculosis of bone, skin cancer, colitis, bowel upset, kidney stones, kidney panic, scalp ailments, inability to sleep, pestilence, inflammation, hemorrhoids, schizophrenia, Huntington's chorea, scab, measles, smallpox, blasting, brutishness, unteachable ignorance, heart attack, astonishment of heart, venereal disease, inflammation of a fungus infection of sex organs, female cancer, uncontrollable body odor. Come out every spirit of leukemia, acne, menstrual cramps, cancer of bowels, cancer, kidney failure, heart disturbances, falling hair, aimlessness, consumption, tuberculosis, botch, boils, blindness, Tourette syndrome, musculosclerosis, spinal meningitis, cancer of bone, carbuncles, diarrhea, eye trouble, hernia, kidney infection, melancholy, sadness, restlessness, futility, fever, madness, encephalitis, polio, stroke, St. Vitus Day, scoliosis. Come out in Jesus' name, all ailments. Come out, every disease found in the Bible. Ague, blemish, broken-handed, canker, dwarf, flux, impotent, issue, leprosy, maim, pestilence, scurvy, withered, blains, blindness, broken-footed, crooked back, hemorrhoids, gangrene, infirmity, itch, lunacy, murrain, scab, sores, worms, boils, botch, bruises, dropsy, flat nose, halt, inflammation, lameness, madness, palsy, skull, wind, and wounds. Come out, every disease found in the Bible. Come out, any functional diseases of the body. Come out, spirits of allergies and sinusitis, female allergies. Go right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of the mouth and the gums. Come out, spirits of gluttony, body illness. Go right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, spirits of fatness, sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, pain in the sternum, infection of the colon and colon cancer, stomach infection, pancreatitis, nervousness, stomach nerves, the things that grow in the stomach. I can't think of the name right now. Come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Those are the things that grow in the stomach. Ulcers, come out, spirit of ulcers. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, spirits in the gallbladder, glandular malfunctions of the body fluids and swelling. Come out, spirits of swelling, chest pains, breast cancer, cancer in either breast. I command you to go in Jesus. Come out of the right breast and the left breast. Come out of the lymph glands in the breast. I call out the mushroom type of growth of breast cancer. I curse it in Jesus' name. Come out of the bone marrow. Come out of the ears. Come out of the ears. Deafness and dumbness. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. I curse parasites and organisms in the body. A broken rhythm of the heart. Blood cancer. Come out. Cancer in the blood. Come out. Spirits of epilepsy. Convulsions. Go right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Grand mal epilepsy. Petit mal epilepsy. Go. Come out of the pituitary glands. Go right now in the name of all heart blockage. Pains in the feet, pains in the neck. Come out, ear infections. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, spirits. I command all these demons to go. Now come out, all emotional demons. Go right now. Break your power, and I drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no choice. You will go in Jesus' name. Now come out, every spirit of infirmity, weakness, sickness, and disease in any part of our body.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.